Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
What's going on, guys? This is Matt from flipweekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. There's a podcast where I go to thrift stores and garage sales way too fucking much, and I find absolutely nothing except for this week when I hit up Facebook Marketplace and I scored some amazing deals. I also, tell a lie, went to Savers and I found a really, really, really good find. I'm going to expose the niche. I've told you about it before, but I'm going to expose it again, because if you saw this in a thrift store and you listen to the Flip Weekly podcast or you read the newsletter, you would have picked this up before me. It cost me $7.50. I'm going to get into it. But first, I want to talk about a Facebook Marketplace find. I found something from 1998 for $30, and you might remember it if you grew up in the 90s. This is a baby Furby. Now, Furbies were released back in 1998. The Furby Baby was released in 1999. I guess if you thought the original Furby wasn't cute enough, they made an even cuter version as a baby. $30 I paid. It was in the original box. I couldn't believe that they were selling it so cheap for $30. I sent them a message and I was one of the first people to message them. They told me that when they gave it to me, and they said, you know, they got inundated with messages. I don't blame them, because this had the original instruction manual, the original Furbish dictionary. Now, if you didn't grow up with these in the 90s, the Furbish dictionary. What is the Furbish dictionary? Well, you could talk to the Furby in English and it would talk back to you in Furbish, which is their official language, or I guess you could talk to it in Furbish and it would reply to you in Furbish. I don't know how they really did this back in the late 90s. I don't think the technology was there. It might have just heard something and then reacted to it. I also don't think that kids are going to be looking up the words in this Furbish dictionary, because I looked it up and I tried to form a few sentences and it was doing my fucking head in, right? So this is a Furbish word. This is the only sentence that I've been saying to the Furby, right? And I know how creepy it sounds for like a middle-aged man to be at his home speaking a make-believe language to a soft toy. But this is Furbish and it's embarrassing and cringy to even talk about. But let's go through it. So this is what I said to it. Me, me, no loo, Furby's car to loo, da may may wa ite. So fucking ridiculous. So I said that to the Furby. It responded to me. I don't know what it said, but essentially what I was telling the Furby was that I love it. I love this Furby so much because it's going to bring me some money. Now, there's no Furbish word for money. They mustn't have a currency in Furby land. So the closest I could get was big shiny thing. So that is my word for money. The ma ma wei e te, big shiny thing. I think that's right anyway. So I went back and I watched one of the commercials, one of the very first commercials for Furbies, and there's something a bit off about this. And I'm going to play the commercial for you and tell me what you think.
What's that?
Me up.
It's my Furby.
Furby loves your love and touch.
Tickle me.
Furby, the first gigapet you pet.
Go ahead. Pet me.
Teach to say her name.
Me, Noodle.
Play games.
Big bab. Boo.
And love you back.
Uh-oh. Achoo.
Your Furby sneezed.
Achoo.
And gave mine a cold.
Furby loves you love and touch.
Me love you.
Furby, the gigapet you really...
Now, it all seems innocent enough, but there's comments turned off on this video, and I just kept going back to this one thing that was happening in the background, what this person was saying. Let me just repeat it for you. I'm sorry, Furby loves a what?
Furby loves your love and touch.
Look, I am not the most mature person, and I have been known to laugh at silly things, but I cannot ignore the evidence that I'm hearing with my own ears. This person is saying that Furby loves a rub and tug. What the fuck is happening? Now, the haters could say, no, Matt, obviously they're not saying that Furby loves a rub and tug. They're saying what? Furby loves a rub and tum? Rub on the tum? No, do you think it could be that? What are they actually saying? Maybe they're saying rub and tug before rub and tug became associated with what it is known for now. Is that, like, is that an actual thing? For those that grew up, well, I mean, I grew up in the 90s, but when Furbies were released in 1998, I was 6 years old. I had no idea what a rub and tug was, okay? I don't even think I fully know what a rub and tug is to this day. I'm not going to Google it. I'm not having that on my search history. Did rub and tug mean something different in the 90s? Is that what's happening? And now, you know, it's just aged very poorly? Or am I hearing something else? Let me know in the comments what they're actually saying. And if Furby does love a rub and tug, what does that mean in the vernacular of a Furby? I know that you can rub the stomach of the Furby, and I know you can rub the back of the Furby, but what is the tug portion? What am I supposed to be tugging on a Furby? It's not like a bop it. It's not, you're not bopping the head, pulling on it. I don't understand what the tug part is, unless it is saying Furby loves a rub on tum. But then it's, I don't know, that just doesn't sound right. Furby loves a rub on the tum. Furby loves a rub and tug. I don't know. It's fucking weird anyway. No wonder the fucking comments are turned off. But yeah, we got a bit distracted there. I found this for $30 in the box with the instruction manual, with the Furbish dictionary, and my what I'm calling my adoption fee of $30, the price that I paid for it, is going to be a good investment because these things were released over 25 years ago. They're appreciated in value. They've probably appreciated more in value than fucking Beanie Babies. You know, Beanie Babies are nothing. These came out around that same time, right? And everyone was hoarding Beanie Babies. Nobody was hoarding Furbies. So this one that I found is going to be listed up for $199.95. I've already received a couple of offers which I've declined, and they were in the $150 range. And I'm going to hold off until someone buys this. You know, it's August now. I mean, we're so close to Christmas, and I apologize for saying that and putting that in your head. I should probably work out how many pay cycles left until Christmas just to make you feel even better. But yeah, these Furbies, they fluctuate in prices. It really depends which one that you get as to the value, because there's hundreds of different SKUs for Furbies. Their eye colors change, their fur changes, and I think people are buying these because they had them as kids, right? So someone would pay up for a Furby they had when they were younger for the nostalgic factor. So maybe the most popular colors back in the day would be the most popular colors now. You know, I'm seeing Furbies on eBay selling for $70, buy it now, but then I see one that is the exact same from the exact same year on bid on auction selling for $178. So I guess it really depends on the Furby. Now, there are some Furbies you can get which are incredibly rare, and that is again based on the eye color, based on the color of the fur. So you're going to be wanting to comp all of them. If you see one that looks really weird, really unusual, just like anything, any sort of plush, any sort of toy, any sort of collaboration, you're going to want to look up anything that looks a bit weird. So if it's like you see it and it's a Furby and you're like, Jesus Christ, like this thing looks like it's been through the ringer, it could be worth a bit of money because it's a bit different. But yeah, I mean, when you find one in the original box and the box is in great condition, you're going to want to buy it if you can get it for $30 or less. I mean, yeah, this is going to turn into $200 from a $30 Facebook Marketplace investment. And you get to have a bit of fun with it too, right? You get to give it some rub and tugs. So you get to play with it and you get to sell it onto someone else. Now, when I'm visiting Savers now, I'm getting a bit more lucky. I'm finding items that I don't usually find, and I'm having a bit of fun going to Savers now. I'm not cursing out the staff for being too good at their jobs. But this week I found something that I thought was going to be too good to be true. It was priced way below active listings, way below any of the sold listings. And really, I just had a feeling that it was going to be, you know, it's done on purpose. The item would have been tested and realized something was wrong with it. So I found a Sony Walkman, a cassette tape Walkman, FM AM radio built into it. The model number was FX103. It's a pretty popular cassette Walkman player. I've seen them before online. I've never actually bought one or found one in the wild before. You know I love my portable media, but I found this for $12.99. For the kids, you know, before the iPods, before the iPhones, I swear I've said this before about Walkmans, we had the cassettes. We'd chuck the cassette in, hope that it didn't chew it up, and listen to some music. So I thought, something about this isn't going to work because the comps are crazy and the Saver staff, like I said, they're too good at their job. So there are no exact model listings sold in the past 90 days on eBay, but there is one listed on eBay within Australia and it has multiple people watching it. And it's selling for $224 plus postage. And you know what? Just based on sold comps for similar sort of models, I think that person would be able to get it. So I took this home, I turned it on, put some batteries in, and I could see that the radio was working fine. So I thought, all right, let's chuck in a cassette tape and see if that works. I chucked the cassette tape in, you know, I keep a couple around just to do some testing. Not just one cassette tape, that's the thing. Don't just have one cassette tape to test with. You need multiple so that you can rule out that it's not the tape, it's the player. Chucked it in, chucked multiple cassette tapes into this player, nothing. Wouldn't play. And then I was thinking, you know, oh, I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to work. If it was a working cassette tape player, I would have been able to, I would have seen it behind their glass or behind their desk, you know, Savers at the front. I'm just thinking, what am I going to do with this? I look back on the listings on eBay and there's really two types of listings when it comes to cassette tape players, like these old Walkmans. There's really two. There's one that's like untested for parts and repair, or the other one which says it's working with a brand new belt. So I'm thinking, look, these units are made entirely of plastic. There's no screws in them whatsoever. I'm thinking, I'm sort of tech savvy, you know, to a degree, but if anything requires like soldering or like actual skill when it comes to, you know, technology, I'm not going to be able to do it. You know, specialized equipment, I'm out. But this thing, man, it's made from the 80s. It's made with plastic. It's someone like me surely should be able to fix this or at least attempt to fix it. So I chuck on YouTube and I find a video about a unit like this, on how to open it up and check it out. So I chuck on the video and doesn't have screws, so it's all about like popping it open without breaking any of like the plastic clamps. And you know, I got off to a really, really good start because I legit couldn't open this fucking thing for like 15 minutes. I was close, man. I was close to like taking this out to the curb and doing some stomping on it, but calmed down, gave it another shot, and I was able to open it up. Now, opening it up, I was able to see that the belt on this cassette player was worn to shreds. It had like shrunken down. It was like all loose. It was broken. It was like me, right? Like completely worn out. So yeah, seeing that like the other listings on eBay said like a new belt or it's working with a new belt, I thought, well, this belt is fucked. What if I just order a new belt, try and put it on, and then see if it fixes the problem? Yeah, I mean, that's what I did. I don't know a single thing about the other parts of this cassette player. I don't know really what a belt even does. I know what it does on your pants. I don't know what it does for a cassette tape player. So I type in the model number on eBay and I find a replacement belt and it's going to cost me $22. That would put our total cost of goods up to $34. And I'm thinking, you know, if we can fix it and get a sale price of $200, that's still like $165 worth of profit. The only thing is like those belts, I think they're 3D printed by like this Taiwanese company. They're all like custom made. So it's going to take a bit to get here. So I'll keep you up to date with this. But man, if you find like these sort of Walkmans in the future, I would recommend if they're not working and you didn't like invest too much into it, pop it open and just see what you're working with. Like if the fucking solution is just to replace these belts, it does not look like it's hard to do. You know, I popped it open. That Popping it open was legit the hardest thing I had to do. Opening this plastic thing without breaking the clamps. That was the hardest thing to do. And then you just see like what looks to be like a fucking motherboard and you don't touch anything else. You only look at... It's like playing Operation. Okay. It's like playing Operation. If you remember the game Operation, remember I think it was like near the knee or near the thigh. There was like a rubber band that you had to get out with the tweezers. It's like that. It's exactly like that. Cassette tape player belts are like Operation. You just have to remove that belt without like killing the guy and making it buzz. Or I guess in the cassette tape player, this it's like removing it without getting, not electrocuted, but maybe a little zap. Just remove that belt. You could even use it, the fucking Operation tweezers if you wanted to. Remove that belt and then buy the new belt from Taiwan and put it in the cassette tape player and see if it fixes it. See if it works. It's that fucking easy. And I know I haven't fixed the player just yet, so I'm telling you how easy it is, and it's no guarantee it's going to work. It could be actually extremely difficult. This could be like Trump's view on fixing the war between Ukraine and Russia. Nobody knew it was going to be this hard, right? I don't know. I'm just saying that I'm not going to throw it away. I'm not going to put it up for parts. If I put it up for parts, I'd get like what, $20, $30. No, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to replace this. Feel like I am of service, you know, like if the fucking world ends, I have a skill, you know, I'm not this unskilled person. I can fix belts in Walkmans. I don't want to be left behind, you know, I'm upskilling myself. So yeah, that is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to let you know, hopefully next week, maybe the week after, whether it fixes this player. If it does, we'll have the radio working, we'll have the cassette tape player working, and we'll be good to go. We'll be good to go to list this up for $200, and I guarantee it will sell. How quickly? I think it'll be quite quick. The sell-through rates on these Walkmans are really high. I think a lot of people type in Walkman into eBay, whether out of nostalgia or they just want to replace their old one. But yeah, if you find this sort of stuff, try and fix it yourself. You might be in the same position as me where you don't know fucking anything. You're unskilled, you're useless, you're lazy. This is all me. You're probably a bit better than that. And try and fix it, man. Now look, we have $1,000 marketplace pickups, $1 into $200 thrift store finds, but it's really, really important not to let that go to our head. And that is why we have Facebook Marketplace sometimes not coming through for us. I want to talk about real quickly a gamble that I took that didn't pay off. So I saw this ad on Facebook Marketplace saying old mobile phones and iPad $20 just listed. I might have messaged within like 5 minutes. In the ad, I could see maybe like 8 phones and an iPad. Now, others will see the old phones and sort of dismiss the listing, but really you should be seeing big, big money, because $20 for all of that, that has the potential to have an insane return on investment. And honestly, when the price is this good, we don't want to ask for model numbers. We don't want to ask like, have you tried charging them up? Have you tried like, you know, turning them on, seeing if they work? We just want to say sold and go out and pick them up. And that's exactly what I did. The person that was selling it was an older man, and he was selling it on behalf of his daughter. And this guy, when I got there, I could see his phone still blowing up. He was asking me questions, like tech questions. How do I mark this as pending? Like, how do I take this down? I was there for legit 20 minutes giving this guy like a Facebook Marketplace 101 type course. I got the entire bundle of phones and the iPad, and I get home and I test them out, and I start off with the iPad. It came in the original box, which I thought was really cool. It was an iPad 4, so it's quite old, so it doesn't have that much value, maybe like $50 to $60. I ended up giving it to my sister for my nephew when he grows up. You know, for Christmas last year, I gifted my niece a brand new iPad, and I thought, well, it'd be a bit unfair if I got my niece an iPad and I didn't get my nephew an iPad. So my nephew now has an iPad, albeit a bit of an older one, but you know, you'd still be able to watch YouTube or draw or whatever the fuck the kids do with iPads. And then I was thinking, you know, this is going to be a home run, because these old iPhones, and there was a couple of Samsung phones thrown in there for good mix, they can sell on eBay for a lot of money, even if they're old. And in some cases, the older they are, the more they're worth. So I looked up the average sale price for most of these phones. And if they all worked, it doesn't matter if they hold their charge. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for anything else. As long as they work, as long as they turn on, the total value would have been over $700, $765 to be exact. The phone that was worth the most was the iPhone 11, which goes for about $170. There was a Samsung in there too that was like $150. And just the bulk of all of these older phones would have made me like a bit of money. Unfortunately, I went through each and every one. At one point in time, I think I had like 6 phones on charge, all scattered throughout my house. I didn't even know I had that many sockets to charge. None of them worked. And it was a bit of a shame because I was thinking that it was going to be a good deal. I thought, you know, it'd be good to talk about that I was able to find all these old phones. And don't throw away your old phone because you can still make money from them. At the end of the day, I was able to get, you know, an iPad for $20. That's how much I paid. And I don't know if you can get an iPad for $20 anywhere else. But I just chalked it all up to a loss. I gave the phones to my sister to chuck onto Marketplace to try and make a bit of money. She got inundated with messages too, all from the dumbest fucking people you can imagine. No one reading the listing. She sent me through a screenshot of some of these messages people were asking. And they're just like, read the fucking listing description. None of them work. I was honestly surprised like a reseller didn't swoop in and just to pick them up. Just like a gamble like I did. You know, it might be where she is living. She lives, you know, like an hour outside of the city where I am. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's not that many resellers that are buying them. They're all just asking, like, does the iPhone 11 still work? Does the Samsung still work? And I was just surprised that nobody had swooped in and just picked them all up. So maybe this is a category that you can make a bit of money on, these old phones. If somebody's selling a bunch of their old phones, jump in, take a gamble. You never know, like, if one of them works, then you could make your money back. But that leads me to, you know, I had to tell you a fail because I'm about to tell you an amazing win, humongous fucking win, maybe the best win of this entire month, and I guarantee you're going to be shocked at what this ends up being, okay? So it was like 3 weeks ago that I was talking to you about a reader's collection. Now, a reader named Dean got in contact with me and he had a huge collection of Bundaberg rum pottery. The photos of his collection were in the Flip Weekly newsletter, and I told you about the mugs and the jugs that Dean buys and they can sell for a lot of money. The collector's market for these rum jugs is huge. I just came to the realization that this Australian pottery for sort of like rum memorabilia or any sort of alcohol memorabilia can be worth a lot of money. And every time I've been going to a thrift store lately, I've been looking at their pottery to see if there's anything that could be worth money. That brings me to, in a savers this week, I found what I'm calling a masterpiece, despite it looking like seventh grade art. So it was for $7.49. I found a mug. Picture a art class where they get you to make a mug. You know, I don't know about your high school, but at my school, we had sort of like a pottery lesson, I guess, with clay. We had our own kiln. That sort of sounds a bit impressive, but if you knew where I went to school, you would be like, it's a fucking shithole. But yeah, we had our own kiln and we would make some pottery and we would chuck it in the kiln and do that. Think of like the best kid in your class in art, okay? And it looks like maybe they did it. Not someone like me in art that fooled around. Someone that like took their art seriously. They're still young. They're still a kid. But it looks like that person created this mug. It is a character mug. It has a character on it called Bosun Bill. And underneath Bosun Bill, it had a brand name. And the brand name was called Beanley Rum. Beanley Rum. That had been inscribed into the mug so you could see it. And then, you know, it just had a character's face. It had a guy with bushy eyebrows, big fat cheeks. Picture sort of like a Winston Churchill looking guy. He had a blue cap on. And the cap, the front of the cap is where it said Bosun Bill. Beanley Rum. And yeah, it just had a handle like every other mug, and they were the only markings on it. And when I looked this thing up on Google Lens, you know, I saw Beanley Rum and I thought, damn, it's not Bundaberg Rum. Like, I can't sell it to Dean. I can't sell it to the Bundaberg Rum collectors. But I looked it up and then I got excited. Not because I saw eBay listings. I didn't see eBay listings. Instead, what I saw were mentions of very, very similar items, but they were being auctioned off at different auction houses. You know, I saw Albion Antique Auction Center, Antiques Reporter, Invaluable.com, ABCR Auctions. Like, the list just went on and on. I'm thinking, you know, this thing has been auctioned off. Think of an auction, like, there are so many fees involved in an auction. You wouldn't just auction off anything that's worthless because you just won't make any money with it. The shit thing is with these websites is you can't just look at the sold price. You need to like register. And I tried registering for one website and I guess it's run by a bunch of old people because it was like, your registration will be approved soon. It wasn't like an automatic process. I couldn't see sold pricings, but I'm just thinking like if these people are auctioning off this sort of memorabilia, then it must be worth a bit of money. So then, you know, after seeing all those auction houses on Google Lens and clicking on them, I decide to type it into eBay. And I type in, you know, Bosun Bill Beanley Rum. I see something. Oh my God. Oh my God. I see a single listing for the exact same mug as this. And it had 14 people watching it. I couldn't tell how long it had been live for, and it was listed for $850. So this is $850 for this make-believe character, this like what looks to be art student's character mug, an A-plus student's character mug, wearing like fucking more bronzer than American politicians, and it's selling for $850 with 14 people watching it. Granted, no sold comps, so it could be just a one-off. But I do a bit more research into Beanley Rum, and I can see that it's like the oldest rum company in Australia, or at least one of them. But like their distillery, the Beanley Rum Distillery, is the oldest registered distillery in Australia. So I guess that bit of history has made this sort of like this 1950s pottery collectible. And very similar to Dean with his Bundaberg Rum, there's a whole host of collectors that are wanting to buy these items when they pop up onto eBay. And that is very, very seldom because just think, it's pottery. These things break. You move house once, the handle snaps off. You know, these things are just not meant to be like around for generations because they're so fragile. So after seeing like 14 people watching this $850 listing, I'm thinking like, I want to try for a quick sale. I'm going to chuck this up, still in complete disbelief, for $500 plus postage. And I know what you're thinking. The absolute nerve of me to ask somebody paying $500 for a mug to then pay postage on top of that and not offer it for free. I know. It's a bold move. But let's just see how we go. And if you keep listening, you might be shocked at what ends up happening. And trust me, it's not me dropping the mug. Now let's just quickly go through a few other things I bought this week before I tell you about what has sold. And in the same savers, I picked up the Death Note all-in-one edition book. This is the manga that's all in the one book. It's not individual volumes. It's in this fucking thick-ass book. Like, this thing is like, it's like 20 centimeters thick. I don't understand how people are reading this. I've seen this exact same book, this Death Note manga all in one, in like a glass cabinet in a Vinnie's before, and I ended up looking it up at the time and seeing the value. Just, it's below $100, it's maybe like $50, $60, $70. I didn't buy it at the time because Vinnie's obviously had looked it up why it was in the glass display cabinet, but Savers only wanted $7 for this, and I thought, yeah, I'll do that, and I can list it up for $60, undercutting everyone else, and just see if we can get a quick sale on that. And then also on Marketplace, I found this old Warhammer packet of like metal figures. I paid $50 for it. I paid up for it. But I've been able to list it on eBay for $200. No idea if they'll sell anytime soon, but that's what the comps are looking like. And I mean, when it comes to old Warhammer sets on Facebook Marketplace. I'm only going to pick up the ones that are unused and they're complete. They're, like I said, the mini metal or in some cases plastic figures, and the hobbyists, they glue them together and they paint them and then they use them for like tabletop role-playing games. They're really expensive. Like, I mean, this is a small box of five figures and it's worth about $200. But the general rule there is that it's worth picking up pretty much anything that's Warhammer. They all hold their value, and in some case they appreciate in value. So whether that's the figurines, the books, the accessories, you can find them in thrift stores at times. Marketplace is where you're going to be able to find them more often. And remember that just like most things, they're not all created equal. So don't go paying like $50 for something that's Warhammer unless you do your comp research and you find them. Do that. There's a few other things that I bought this week that you can go on the newsletter to check out. I'm not going to go into them because I really, really want to get back to this mug. You know, I'm excited to tell you about it. But yeah, check out the newsletter if you want to see a couple more finds. Got pictures there. We have some $100 items that are going to be listed up. We have some sell-through rates that I really fucked up by misspelling the name Dr. Seuss. I fucked up a sell-through rate. I thought something was going to sell really quickly with a 9,000% sell-through rate. That would be insane, 9,000%. No, it's because I typed in Dr. Seuss wrong. Oh, fucking idiot, man. But anyway, let's move on to what I sold, and I think you know what I'm going to be talking about first. What I sold was the Beanley Rum Pottery Mug. I listed it up for $500, and it sold for the full asking price in just 47 minutes. Not 47 hours, 47 minutes. That's $7.49 into $500 fucking dollars. I think this is like the most expensive item I've ever sold in less than an hour. And look, I wouldn't even be interested in this sort of pottery, this sort of mug sort of section, if not for Dean reaching out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So thank you to Dean. And if you read issue number 76 of the newsletter, if you listened to the podcast like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you would not be skipping the mug section in the future, will you? Because this is a category where you can make $500 in less than 47 minutes. Every single time I'm in a thrift store now, I am looking at the sort of pottery section in like the mugs area. And I mean, I want to find more of this shit. And if you go to your thrift store and you find something like this, because I've said it, you owe me a drink. You owe me a drink. I don't care. You owe me a fucking drink. $7.49 into $500. I would say this sort of stuff is found within the mug section, but there's in Savers, there's usually another section with pottery. It's like with the bowls and the cups. You know, not always with the mugs, but yeah. Look for those two different areas and you might be able to find it. Find something similar. And yeah, like the old Australian pottery, the distilleries, the rums, the old wines. Oh, I don't know about wines, but the old like alcohol related. So just picture pottery and then alcohol, put them both together and always do your comp research. Don't just buy it without looking it up because there is newer stuff. Like I've seen like Brown Brothers, you know, that brand Brown Brothers, they make like the Moscatos. They're really popular. They have similar sort of stuff. It looks newer. It doesn't look like an art student has put it together. It looks like a machine has put it together. That sort of stuff doesn't go as well. You're wanting it to be old. You're wanting it to look like it's handmade, like the art student has made it. So if you want to see what this mug looks like, go onto flipweekly.com and check it out so you can see, just get a gauge of what this stuff looks like. But yeah, man, when it comes to an item like this, I'm not going to try and like fit it into like a really small Australia Post box to try and get like the cheapest shipping. I've gotten a bigger box. I'm doing my absolute best to make sure that it's protected. I've put it inside bubble wrap. I've then used like shredded paper inside of the box and just making sure that if I move it around, nothing is going to move. The box is fully secured. And yeah, you should have seen me carrying this mug around. Like I was so hesitant of breaking this thing, hesitant of like scratching it or even dropping it. I just thought like I'm gonna walk around a corner and it'll be my hand and I'll just like smash it on the wall. I was really hesitant about this because $500, the sale price, like it blew my mind. For 47 minutes, I could have put it up a bit higher. Like I said, there was that one comp on eBay for $850 with 14 people watching. They all must have just been waiting for another one to come up or like saving up the money to buy it for $850. So when this popped up for $500, someone was like, boom, done. Could I have got $600, $700, maybe even $800? Probably, yeah. I'll know for next time, but I cannot complain about that sale price in 47 minutes. Now, the other thing with sending an item that's worth this much money and is this fragile, you can get insurance with your postal system. I got insurance with Australia Post. It's very, very simple. So insurance up to $100 is free. And for every $100 afterwards, it's $2.50. So it costs just an extra $10 to have this insured up to $500. And that means if it gets broken, if like the box gets caved in for whatever reason, I'm going to be protected. I'm not going to have to shell out that money for myself. And yeah, it's something that I highly recommend. You just have to make sure that when you're doing the post, you tell them that you want insurance on this item. If you ever go into the post office, you're always clicking that red button saying like no insurance, no insurance. You do that awkward moment where the cashier tries to press the button and then you go and press the button and it's sort of like your fingers touch. You're going to have to avoid that. You're going to tick the green button. You're going to shock the cashier. Say, yes, I would like insurance. And they're going to light up like a fucking 4th of July. So that has gone off. The buyer hasn't received it yet. But yeah, $700 into $500. One of the best flips, one of the quickest flips. And I really shouldn't be exposing this because now everyone is going to be like looking for this stuff at the thrift store. But I want you to make money. I want us to make money together. And if you can find this sort of pottery item, please send me through photos. I want to see it. I want to see how quickly you make money. I want to see how much you make. Can you beat my record of $500 in 47 minutes? Let's have a fucking leaderboard going. Who can make the most money from Australian pottery? So far, I'm winning. at $500. Can you beat me? Let's see. Now, the next item that sold, it's not as much, not as exciting, but it's a DVD that you should check, keep an eye out for in the thrift store because it turned from $6 into $65. It's the Dame Edna Experience. Now, this DVD I picked up $6 at a Vinnie's. It's gone on to sell very quickly, 55-day turnaround time. Yes, that's day. It's not minutes. It's under 2 months, which isn't too bad, I guess, for a DVD. Doesn't have a region code on it. And that's just like a little tip for you guys with region codes. If there isn't a region code on the DVD or on the case, chances are it's a region-free DVD, meaning it can play on like any DVD player around the world. So that opens the market up a bit. Chuck your international shipping on and you might be able to sell it quicker. Now, Dame Edna was a comedian within Australia, I think. The guy that played Dame Edna was Barry Humphries. I know that Barry Humphries passed away in 2023. I'm starting to think he was Australian. I think he was Australian. But yeah, just a reminder, yes, he passed away. And he does have multiple biographies out. So they might be signed. Bit morbid, but you can make some money doing that. The next item was $5 into $70. And that is an Xbox 360 Assassin's Creed Revelations video game. It was a promotional copy. It was a promo only, not for resale, and it was fully sealed. When you're at a thrift store in the video game market, in the video game section, you're always going to see the same games, Wii Fit, FIFA. They're all the same stuff. Every single thrift store is exactly the same. Assassin's Creed does get put there too because you can buy this exact same game on the exact same console on eBay right now for literally $5 with free shipping. But the difference is, this copy that I have is sealed and it's a promotional copy. The promo only copies, they were generally given to stores. They were given to like reviewers, influencers. It isn't a traditional retail copy, but it does have the same game on it. But the thrift store would just see Assassin's Creed, chuck it on the shelf, not knowing that those two things, the fact it's sealed and the fact it's promo only, does make it more valuable to collectors, and that's why we got it. And it's sold, it's off to the US. So the person ended up paying close to $100 for this game. It's just a game that you find in the thrift. I don't know why people collect it. I guess it's just something different to collect. But yeah, look for those sealed games. Look for the promo only labels in thrift stores. They won't show up often. You need to be prepared, and it's always just worth checking out because you never know what you're going to find there. Always look for those seals. There's always just going to be junk there. But if you can find like a junky title with a seal, with a promo only like this, you can make some money. Now, that Death Note book that I bought earlier for $7, it actually sold in less than 24 hours and it sold for $60. I undercut everyone on eBay. I wanted a quick sale just because this wasn't going to make that much money. Yeah, so I listed it up for $60 and gone in 24 hours. Not a lot of profit, but it's something to share with you. And you might see this in a thrift store. At least you'll know now that the value isn't that high. I mean, you can get $60 for it, but it's not like anything that's going to change your life, you know? That said, I don't know how people are reading this book. Like, it's so fucking thick. I have no idea how people can read it. But anyway. Now, the Halo figure that I bought not that long ago has sold to it, so for $80. I found it in a Savers for $7, so 7 into 80 in only a couple of weeks. The Halo franchise is a good one to find. The Microsoft on the bottom of action figures is also an indicator that it might be a Halo figure. And they didn't make many of these, so they're all going to be quite valuable. And the other thing that sold was something that I chickened out on. Now, it was the Big Mouth Billy Bass. It's the singing fish on the wall. They sell for $150 on eBay, yet I took $50 on Marketplace. Now, why did I do that? It was because the mouth wasn't really functioning that well. I put it on my eBay description and, you know, I said that the fish didn't really open and close its mouth smoothly. But I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. I got asked on Marketplace where I had it for sale for $100. Multiple times for videos, and like when I was recording it, I just was feeling like less and less confident in it selling on eBay for $150. Well, not so much selling on eBay for $150, but the person receiving it to be happy with spending $150 on it. So yeah, I just took an offer for it on Marketplace for $50. But look, in the future, still pick up those Big Mouth Billy Bass, the singing fish on the wall. You would know them when you see it. I encourage you to get them. You'll receive a lot of interest on both eBay and Marketplace. And if it's working perfectly, you're going to get more than that $50 that I got. You'll be able to get like $150, upwards of 100, if it has the original box, if it opens and closes its mouth, if it moves its tail, you're still going to get good money for it. Now, there's a couple of other things that sold this week that are on the Flip Weekly newsletter. You can see that on flipweekly.com. You know, there's still other $100 items there that have sold, so check out all those photos. You might be able to learn a thing or two that I can't teach you here because I can't speak very well today. The words aren't coming to me very well. See, I just repeated myself twice there. Now it's time for Secondhand Opinions. This is a segment where I throw up a reselling topic. You provide your thoughts and I tell you mine. Mine are always poorly thought out. But last week I asked you, do you foresee the physical media category spiking in the upcoming years? Now, I asked that just because my personal life interacted with my reselling life, where things that I wanted to watch on my preferred streaming platform weren't there. In order to watch it, you'd have to go over to another one. And it just seems like the streaming market is just so, like, all over the place. There's no consolidation and things are getting taken off like streaming platforms after, you know, 30 days or whatever. And then you're like, well, how do I watch what I want to watch? And just thinking, you know, will the physical media markets like spike up once people get sick of their streaming platforms not having what they want to watch, charging more and more money? And you know what's funny? Less than 48 hours after publishing that poll, I received an email from Netflix with the subject line, price update coming soon. Literally 2 days after talking about if we'll get rid of streaming, what's like if we'll get rid of streaming and switch to physical media, Netflix comes and says, hey, your bill is going up. Like, is that not the universe telling us that physical media is going to become like a category that we should be looking into? I really want somebody to be like measuring TV shows and movies and like monitoring them to see if the value is going up, because Netflix has just said to me, like, thanks for letting us entertain you since 2025. Starting on 9th of September, we're updating our prices to bring you even more exciting new entertainment. And then my bill is going up, and then they say, why are the prices changing? We're working to bring you more new favorites you're going to love. It's basically, why are prices changing? Because we just can change the prices. We're going to be doing everything exactly the same, but we're going to be charging you more money. And look, if you go back and listen to last week's podcast, this is exactly what I said was going to happen. It's never going to end. The prices are always going to go up. You can never have like a quarter of declining growth. It always needs to be going up. You know, their share price will go down. People think it's the end of Netflix, which it fucking should be. I couldn't believe that 48 hours later, they're increasing the prices after saying that, like, this is just what's going to happen. I don't know. It's literally the sixth Netflix price hike in Australia since they launched 10 years ago. So it's getting very, very close to like once a year. So somebody needs to measure the popularity of like the TV series, popular TV series, movies on eBay, and see if they're going to go up in value, because we need to be at the forefront of this, right? Anyway, in the poll, there was two answers. There was either going to be yes, people are tired of their favorite shows and movies being removed from streaming platforms, or no, streaming platforms are here to stay and they're far more convenient. Well, 92% of you said that yes, they're going to spike. So it seems, you know, this is obviously a very broad audience. It's not a representation of the entire world, right? But for all saying that physical media is going to spike, maybe it will. Because people seem sick of streaming platforms. I myself want to watch like the extended edition of Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray. So I have a Blu-ray player now. Maybe I'll be doing that. Will the prices go up? I don't know. Somebody needs to chart that. Someone needs to do like a price charting for DVDs or Blu-rays. See how that goes. Oh, by the way, speaking of being a psychic, right? Last week I said to you that I went to pick up a marketplace deal over the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and I said that I don't like going over the Sydney Harbour Bridge because it's so fucking dangerous with the lanes so close to each other. I swear to God, it was this week too, like a couple of days after the podcast went live, that there was a head-on collision on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Everything that I'm writing in this fucking newsletter and everything I'm saying on this podcast is coming true. It's, yeah, it's very prophetic, right? That a word? Prophetic? Like a prophet? Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, and it's funny, like on that, I mean, it's not funny, but on the article about the head-on collision, of course, exactly what I said. It's all about the commuters. It's all about the commuters. Avoid the Sydney Harbour Bridge. You're going to be delayed by like 15 minutes. It's always about that. That is why I don't want to go over the Sydney Harbour Bridge, because of what happened this week. But anyway, this week's topic is, when selling locally, where do you usually meet the buyer? The reason I'm asking this is because when I tell people what I do with like Facebook Marketplace pickups, when people come to me, they think it's sort of a bit dangerous. Like, I might be too trusting of people, but I send buyers to my home, like where I live. And not only that, if I'm feeling like really lazy, I might just leave the item out in a bag and tell them to leave cash or transfer money. That's what I do. It's rife for abuse, obviously. They can just take the item, they can forgo sending me the money and then just block me on Facebook, and that's that, right? And I just think, like, if this happens to someone you know, you're just going to think, well, of course that would happen. Like, it's a stranger on the internet taking your stuff. Of course they're going to fucking scam you or run off with it. But I think on the opposite end, in more extreme cases, I'm on the subreddit called Flipping. It's primarily American, but people over there, they advocate to meet their buyers out the front of a police station. And I guess the logic there is that somebody who plans on like leaving without paying won't do so outside a cop shop. But I don't know, Reddit, like I said, is primarily American, so they have like muggings and robberies. Not to say we don't have that here, but I think over there it's much more common. Like here in Sydney, I don't have that fear at all. I'm more than happy, sometimes even prefer it, to have like a contactless pickup. Like it's a running joke here when I tell buyers that the item is like in a secure undercover place. It's on top of my chest freezer in the garage, and I tell them to leave the cash in the freezer because that way whenever I get home or I go outside, my magical freezer spits out cold hard cash. So yeah, it's not exactly secure, but I mean, I'm a gambling man. I say that all the time. I play the odds, and one day somebody might just take the item and run, but I mean, it hasn't happened so far. I don't know. I'm also not going to leave out anything that's like over $100. Like marketplace deals for me are usually for lower valuable items or items that I'm just trying to make some quick money with, a quick flip. But yeah, I don't know. That said, I do understand everyone's different, and I am like a dude living in a city by himself. I don't have any kids. I'm not concerned about sending people to my home. It's just me. There's nothing fearful to having strangers rocking up at my place for some random item I'm selling. And yeah, I mean, really the only fear is that if they can find the place and not waste my fucking time. So yeah, tell me your thoughts. If you're selling locally, if you're selling on Facebook Marketplace or a website like that or an app like that, where do you usually meet the buyer? You can vote on flipweekly.com. You can write in, message on social media. I've just included a couple of poll answers, and they're at home, in public, or I don't sell locally. And I would love to know, if you don't sell locally, what is the reason for that? Is it a safety issue? Is it because you don't want to meet up with people off the internet? And to be honest, I don't blame you, because who would want to meet a random person off the internet? The internet is the worst of the worst. The people on the internet are the worst of the worst too. Yes, I'm also a person on the internet, and yes, I am the worst of the worst. But yeah, just let me know. Yeah, vote on the poll. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Now that's all I've got for you this week. Make sure you check out the Flip Weekly social media accounts, and you'll be able to see videos of this week's finds. I'm going to be posting the video of the mug on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and any other social media platforms. If you're listening on YouTube, please give us a subscribe and a like. If you're listening on Spotify, please rate the podcast a full 5 stars. And yeah, I'll see you next week.
Flip, 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 flip,
Flip Weekly.